to do anything in teaching. My scheme, or dream, is to be a university graduate, and then to be ordained. By going to live at Christminster or near it, I shall be at headquarters, so to speak, and if my scheme is practicable at all, I consider that being on the spot will afford me a better chance of carrying it out than I should have elsewhere.
The smith and his companion returned. Old Miss Fawley's fuel house was dry and eminently practicable, and she seemed willing to give the instrument standing room there. It was accordingly left in the school till the evening, when more hands would be available for removing it, and the schoolmaster gave a final glance round. The boy Jude assisted in loading some small articles, and at 9 o'clock Mr. Phillotson mounted, beside his box of books and other impedimenta, and bade his friends good-bye. "I shan't forget you, Jude," he said, smiling as the cart moved off. "Be a good boy, remember, and be kind to animals and birds, and read all you can. And if ever you come to Christminster, remember you hunt me out for old acquaintance' sake." The cart creaked across the green and disappeared round the corner by the rectory house. The boy returned to the draw-well at the edge of the greensward, where he had left his buckets when he went to help his patron and teacher in the loading. There was a quiver in his lip now, and after opening the well cover to begin lowering the bucket, he paused, and leant with his forehead and arms against the framework, his face wearing the fixity of a thoughtful child's who has felt the pricks of life somewhat before his time. The well into which he was looking was as ancient as the village itself, and from his present position appeared as a long, circular perspective, ending in a shining disk of quivering water, at a distance of 100 feet down. There was a lining of green moss near the top, and nearer still the hart's tongue fern. He said to himself in the melodramatic tones of a whimsical boy that the schoolmaster had drawn at that well scores of times on a morning like this, and would never draw there any more.
"I've seen him look down into it, when he was tired with his drawing just as I do now, and when he rested a bit before carrying the buckets home. But he was too clever to bide here any longer, a small sleepy place like theirs."
A tear rolled from his eye into the depths of the well. The morning was a little foggy, and the boy's breathing unfurled itself as a thicker fog upon the still and heavy air. His thoughts were interrupted by a sudden outcry.
"Bring on that water, will ye, you idle young harlequin!"
It came from an old woman who'd emerged from her door towards the garden gate of a green-thatched cottage not far off. The boy quickly waved a signal of assent, drew the water with what was a great effort for one of his stature, landed and emptied the big bucket into his own pair of smaller ones, and pausing a moment for breath, started with them across the patch of clammy greensward whereon the well stood, nearly in the centre of the little village, or rather hamlet, of Marygreen. It was as old-fashioned as it was small, and it rested in the lap of an undulating upland adjoining the North Wessex Downs. Old as it was, however, the well shaft was probably the only relic of the local history that remained absolutely unchanged. Many of the thatched and dormered dwelling-houses had been pulled down of late years, and many trees felled on the green. Above all, the original church, hump-backed, wood-turreted, and quaintly hipped, had been taken down and either cracked up into heaps of road metal in the lane, or utilised as pigsty walls, garden seats, guard stones to fences, and rockeries in the flower beds of the neighbourhood. In place of it, a tall new building of modern Gothic design, unfamiliar to English eyes, had been erected on a new piece of ground by a certain obliterator of historic records, who had run down from London and back in a day. The site whereon so long had stood the ancient temple to the Christian divinities was not even recorded on the green and level grass plot that had immemorially been the churchyard, the obliterated graves being commemorated by 18-penny cast-iron crosses, warranted to last 5 years. Chapter 2. Slender as was Jude Fawley's frame, he bore the two brimming house-buckets of water to the cottage without resting. Over the door was a little rectangular piece of blue board.